We appreciate you joining us for this episode of Digging Deeper. I'm Lori DeToro, Editor-in-Chief of Equipment Today. We are happy to be talking with Kate Birds, the overall winner of Caterpillar's Celebrating Women in Construction competition that took place in March. In this conversation, Kate discusses her love of construction, her work as a foreman with Mortenson, and her excitement with her win. Now let's get started. Hi, Kate. Thank you so much for joining me today for this episode of Digging Deeper.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So excited to talk with you and get started with the first question. So how did you choose construction and operating as your career?
It sounds really cliche. I guess construction kind of chose me. I did have a start operating in the ski industry at my small ski hill in Iowa. Did a little bit of skid steer operating here and there for some summer operations things. And then I got into a snowcat the older I got. And that's where I really found my passion for just the snow and operating in the snow. Never did I think that it would translate over into the dirt.
That's awesome. So what company are you with and what type of work do you do?
Currently, I'm with Mortenson Construction. I've been with them for 6 years, going on 6 years, and I do civil construction. I'm a civil operating foreman, and we basically support the other groups within our company. Mainly, I've been on wind farms, also a few solar farms, currently on a solar farm, and a battery storage.
Fantastic. So when we were at the event and in the panel discussion, you said that your dirt job pays for your winter job. So why do you like working with snow so much?
Well, that's kind of, like I said, you know, it's just my first true love, I guess you could say, when it comes to being in the workplace. The minute I learned how to snowboard, it kind of just, it was part of me and I loved every bit of it. And every free second I got, I spent at the ski hill. And when I say hill, I emphasize it was, you know, 425 feet or something like that. You know, we say that was the top of the flagpole to the bottom of the pit. That's how long our ski run was. And, but I just, it just, something about it really moved me and I loved it. And then it was so just freeing. So when I found out that it was an option for me to do that as part of my career, I pretty much dove right in. I mean, I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know that that was even a thing that people could go to school for, but I did. I went to school for it up in the UP of Michigan at Gogebic Community College, studied ski area management there, and got out there and into the mountains of Colorado and did my internship at Beaver Creek. The one harsh reality of it is you're living in a destination area, and there's not a lot of money to be made in the ski industry. I know that with inflation and stuff like that, that hourly wages have gone up, but it's still, you know, you're combating with the all the vacationers and the supply and demand. The prices are through the roof, and it's just hard to make a living and kind of balance that work and life with that pay. So in the off season, a lot of people kind of have these construction jobs or these other jobs to supplement their winter jobs. And that's kind of what I found myself doing is I work construction in the summertime with a boss of mine from Beaver Creek. And I got a lot of really good on the job experience and was able to hop into an excavator if it was just sitting idle and just throw some dirt around a little bit. And you know, mainly I was in the skid steer or just kind of carting things around in the loader. But that experience for me was invaluable. And on the flip side of it, you're also making substantially more money. So as long as you were smart about it in the summertime, you could kind of alleviate a little bit of those financial pressures in the wintertime for, you know, the foreseeable winter season. And that's kind of the joke that we have, you know, that the summertime pays for the wintertime. Now I don't do as much in the ski industry as it's just the construction has taken over majority of my year, but I do try to get out there. It's like the construction industry, it's very well connected, and there's people all over the place and people are always kind of moving around. So I've been very fortunate to be in some locations over the last few years that have allowed me to pop back in from time to time and work at a ski resort here or a big mountain here and reconnect and kind of get back behind the sticks, because I really don't get to do much operating anymore in my position. So it's always will be a love of mine. Don't be surprised if I buy one of my own and you'll see me out there laying down some corduroy in my backyard or something.
I would love that. If you do that, you have to send me pictures.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, next question is, so congratulations again. You won the whole competition and the small wheel loader competition. How did it feel to be on top among all those other trailblazing women?
Well, thank you for starters. And you know, I will say I didn't think I was going to win. I was surprised. I was just as surprised as most people, I think. But I would say I knew I was amongst some pretty heavy hitters even before I got there. So, I mean, we had a little bit of a pre-meeting and I was able to kind of look at some of the girls that were on the email list and, you know, do some social media investigation and just looking at the socials of some of these women. And I mean, everybody is really comes from a fairly credible and long list of experience, and their social media is really back them up on that front. And I know it's kind of funny to say, you know, the social media can kind of do the talking, but that's kind of the age we live in. And you kind of go and see if somebody can back up what they're talking on that front. So I was actually fairly intimidated by the time that I came in, which is something that I don't regularly say. And I know people probably don't see that when they see me, but it just reassured me at the end of it that we were amongst some competent women. And that's what I really appreciated about, you know, the effort that went into this event, is that it wasn't we really did something special, and we did it with women that are really going to take the message and put it forth and just do more with it. And that, I think, was the goal. Hopefully, I think for me, that's my goal. And I think that was the goal of Kat. And like everybody said at the end, I mean, everybody's really been buzzing. It's only going to get bigger from here.
Well, and I agree with you. It was really special. And I loved that during the competitions, there was also mentorship and camaraderie among all of you. It almost, I know you were competing with each other, but there were also times where you helped each other. And I really thought that was wonderful. I mean, did you see that as well?
Yeah, I saw it. I experienced it myself. And it was fun in the sense that it did get slightly competitive, but not in a bad way. You know, when we weren't, as we started seeing the scores and we kind of started seeing, okay, like who's the competitor here, of like, who do I kind of got to watch out for? Maybe somebody didn't do as good in this event, but you knew somebody was breathing down your neck in this event. Then it kind of came out a little more playfully. And I thought that was really funny because, I mean, I was bouncing around and I was kind of just talking to everybody and just being energized. And, you know, you kind of go and see if you can get somebody to tell you a little bit of something that might help you out. And that's when it got kind of fun, when you were like seeing who was being tactical on that. But then on the same breath too, when you knew that something was going to catch some people off guard, that you kind of just said, hey, you know, hint at it a little bit. If they pick it up, they pick it up. If they didn't, they didn't. But it was a great group of women. There was, you know, I think everybody was surprised. I think everybody, regardless of their experience level, had a fair shot. And that's definitely what I appreciated across the board, was, you know, it was anybody's game. And can you filter out the the noise and the fact that people are watching you. And I know that's a big hindrance for some people. And can you adapt to the new challenges and just the unexpected? Because I will say there was a lot of unexpected. The tasks in itself, you know, they're what we do on an everyday basis. But there was just the unexpected things that kind of caught you off guard. And it's how do you adapt and overcome and apply that and then just try to get through it without losing your composure. And I'm sure if there was a microphone in the loader when I first went, I'm sure that there would be some censored words, but it was quite the trip, because the event that I thought that I did the worst on, I ended up winning. So kind of funny how that works out.
Well, that's a good sign though.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite part of your job?
My job, you know, I think school isn't really the route for me as far as like I don't have a desire to get my master's or anything like that, but I do have this desire to learn, and I have this competitive drive all the time. I guess there's a part of me knowing that I'm the first civil female foreman with my company, and that's just for my group. I mean, there's many other women leaders in Mortenson. But I want to just keep setting the bar, and I want to keep making it appealing for people to do what I do. But there's a personal battle that I do every single day as to how can I raise the bar? How can I be better? How can I challenge myself? And if I did it, how can I refine it and polish it and make it look easier, be easier, or just be better? I mean, literally that's kind of how I dial it down to. It's just, how can I be better? So that I think that is probably the most favorite part of my job, but it's also the Achilles heel too, because if anybody kind of understands where I'm coming from, that can also get you caught up in your own thoughts. But all in all, it's the most rewarding part of seeing something that you did and never having expected yourself to been able to accomplish that. I mean, I think there's so many firsts that I do anymore on an everyday basis that I don't even realize that I'm doing the first for myself until I can take a step back from the job and its completion. And I can look at it in its entirety and really just be impressed by just, wow, you know, never would I have thought, you know, and then I did. So.
Fantastic. So are there any issues that you have to deal with, you know, that contractors should be aware of and think about when they bring women into the job site?
There's always, regardless of who you're bringing onto the job site, there's always going to be some personality conflicts or whatever. I think, you know, communication is a big struggle between women and even women and women, but also women and men. And one of the things that I have had to learn about myself as a female, as how do I interpret information? How do I receive information? But also how do I give information? And just communication in its entirety. So understanding for me is like, how do I come off, and how can I like not soften myself, but understand that my message is being delivered in a way that people can receive it. So that's definitely a struggle. But in a physical aspect, you know, we have these meetings with my company, and we stress the restroom thing, and that is something that you wouldn't think it would be a big deal, but our company takes that very seriously about making sure everyone has the adequate amenities to be able to perform that job. And I think it is kind of amusing, because I have worked, you know, on all male crews for a lot of my career, and on this company, on other companies. And it's not something that they think about, you know, just go over in the corn or something like that. And that's all fine and great. But not everybody has that luxury every day. So there's just different needs, but that boils down to the communication aspect too. In a healthy work environment with a good culture, you should feel free to communicate your needs, and that company should reciprocate and help you out with those needs. And I'm blessed to be with a company that does that for myself and the other women that we work with. But shedding a light on it and making it known is definitely the start of changing that culture. The other thing, and I kind of touched on it on that panel, just the women in the workplace and children. I know that women want to work, and I know that women want to contribute. And, you know, I emphasize that not all women are cut out for construction, and that's okay. But there are a lot of supporting roles that construction does offer, that you can technically be in the construction field, but you're not in the field. And by that, doing the actual constructing work and stuff. And I think that if we could find out how to foster that that concept of how can we make it so a working mom and dad can come to work, know that they have a place, a safe place, that their kids are going to be watched, and remind them that, hey, this is why we're working safe. This is why we're doing what we're doing. Whether that is, you know, setting up a daycare sponsor in town or setting up a daycare physically on the workplace. And for my situation, the people who do my job and what we do, we travel. So a little bit of context there. So a lot of times we're coming into places that we've never been before. And I know that families maybe aren't as sure about putting their faith into somebody they'd never met. But there's a lot of untapped potential in the spouse unit being at the camper, looking after the home, but then it's a singular family income. And maybe there's a way for us to train those women, if they're interested, to say, hey, you know, instead of watching just your kids, how could we pay you? You can watch your kids. We'll train you, you know, and then we can watch everybody, you know, a handful of people can set up a daycare and watch the group's kids. And then it's just that network, because we rely on that network when we're on the road and really leaning on each other. And there's just certain things that we've gotten crafty about and have to get creative about to have that safe and secure kind of out of workspace while we're at work. And just so we're clear, I don't have any kids. I have cats, but but the same thing. I mean, you know, I mean, I worry about who's going to watch my cats when I'm out of town. So I can only imagine what people are going to think about who's going to watch my kids. And I think that's just the stability aspect and the safety aspect of maybe people's hesitancy to join construction, especially for women.
That's really great. And restrooms and children were two things that I heard a lot of women talking about during the event. So thanks for shining a light on that.
Yeah.
So here is my last question. Is there anything else listeners should know about women working in construction?
The biggest thing is you'll never know until you try it. And if you think that there's a spot for you, or you have even a slight desire, you should try it on some level, whether it's just maybe a shadowing a person, if that opportunity is there for you, whether it's talking to somebody who's directly involved with the trades or something like that. If there's that curiosity there, explore that, because there's so much stigma around the construction trade as it is, but in the trade looking out, there's so much room and opportunity for anybody that you don't have to be stuck in one certain role, in one certain actual trade. You know, you don't like the operators, you can go be an electrician, you can go be a carpenter. Once you figure out what you want to do, you know, stick with it. There's going to be ups and downs. It's not always going to be a walk in the park. It's never been a walk in the park for me. And I wouldn't really want it to be. It's, you know, those ups and downs are what shape us to be, you know, better individuals. And then I just say, save your money, because it comes in and you want to be able to use it when you need it. So save your money. But all in that, it's a great industry. And I've met a lot of amazing people. I've been to a lot of amazing places, and I really wouldn't trade it in for the world. And I can't really think of many other places that I get to go play in the dirt and wear a Carhartt sweatshirt and jeans and, you know, be smiling all day long. So it was the right fit for me. And if you think it is for you, then do it.
Fantastic. Thank you again for joining me today. And just really congratulations again, and appreciate the time.
Yep. Thank you so much.
We appreciate Kate taking the time to talk with us today. Thanks so much for listening. And we hope you'll join us for our next episode of Digging Deeper.